I've entitled this message, Passing Through the Wilderness. And I'd like to begin this morning by reading a poem that I believe is very relevant to this morning's message. It's a very well-known poem. I'm sure that most of you have heard it. It's called Footprints in the Sand. One night, a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that they happened at the very lowest and saddest times of his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times of my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why when I needed you most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, My precious, precious child, I love you and would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. So, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for always walking alongside of us to lead us, to guide us, and when necessary, to pick us up and carry us. We're grateful for the opportunity to come into your house to worship you and hear from you. May the message that's about to come forth bring encouragement to your people. Use me as your vessel to speak life into the hearts of my brothers and sisters today, and I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. For today's text, I'd like to read from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. These are the words of Moses to the children of Israel. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. These words were spoken by Moses just before the children of Israel were getting ready to enter the promised land. 40 years earlier, they had been miraculously delivered from bondage in Egypt. They passed through the Red Sea and watched as the entire Egyptian army was drowned before them. And then they headed toward the promised land. But because of their sin and their lack of faith, a trip that should only have taken 11 days took them 40 years. But in spite of their grumbling and complaining, their backsliding, their lack of gratitude and their sin, God took care of them. He taught them his ways. He provided them with water to drink, manna from heaven to eat. He provided them with clothes and shoes that didn't wear out. He protected them from their enemies. Many of them died in the wilderness because of their sin and lack of faith, but those who persevered and remained faithful to him were brought through the wilderness to the doorstep of the promised land. Many of the things that the children of Israel went through over that 40-year period mirrors our own faith walk with the Lord. We were all in Egypt at one time, and God delivered us from that spiritual bondage, and now we're passing through this wilderness that we call the world on the way to our promised land in heaven. And while we're on the journey, Jesus takes care of us in ways that we're probably not even aware of. He supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. He protects us from all of our enemies. And he has gone on ahead of us to prepare a place for us, an eternal inheritance, so that where he is, we may be also. So just before they entered the promised land, Moses reads to them from what we now call the book of Deuteronomy. He reminds them of what the Lord has done for them to get them this far. He reminds them of the commandments and the principles that he has put into place to keep them safe, keep them healthy, to help them prosper, and to make them holy. He reminds them that there are blessings in store for them if they follow God, and he warns them that there are curses in store for them if they turn away from God. Over 30 times in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses says, "Remember and never forget." For example, let's look at the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Deuteronomy 4, 9. Here Moses says, "But watch out. Be careful never to forget what you yourself have seen. Do not let these memories escape from your mind as long as you live. And be sure to pass them on to your children and grandchildren." How many of you know that it's good to be reminded from time to time of what we came out of, where we've been, and what the Lord has done for us? Amen. Amen. Just as Moses took time to stop and remind the children of Israel of what God had done for them, God wants to remind you and me of what he has brought us out of, what he has taught us, and what he has done for us. Jesus said, "I will send the Holy Spirit to remind you of everything I have told you." The Apostle Paul said, "I want to remind you of the gospel that I have preached to you. I want to remind you to fan into flame the gift of God that you received by the laying on of hands." The Apostle Peter said, "I want to remind you of the things that I have taught you, things that you already know but perhaps have forgotten. And I will keep on reminding you of these things as long as I live." Part of Pastor Jerry's job and my job is to continually remind you of the blessings that come when we follow and obey the Lord, and the sorrow and suffering that come when we don't. And as we remember all the great things that God has done for us and all the lessons that we have learned, both good and bad, we should pass them down to our children and our grandchildren for their encouragement and for their warning. Sister Karen, I was just blessed my heart and gladdened my heart so much when you shared that your granddaughter had accepted the Lord. Amen. You know, and she accepted the Lord because somebody took the time to share the Lord with her. Yeah. And to pass down to her what they themselves had received from the Lord. Amen. And I just pray that the Lord will just hold her in the palm of his hand every day of her life, and that she'll always follow him and never turn to the right or to the left. Amen. Amen. You see, if the Lord tarries, your children and your grandchildren will also have to pass through the wilderness just like we do. In fact, the wilderness they pass through will be much more rugged and difficult than the wilderness we had to pass through. The days when Christians have it easy in this country are quickly coming to an end because our beliefs and our values and our convictions are contrary to those of the ruler of this world. Our children and our grandchildren will need an extra measure of God's grace to live as Christians in the world that we're leaving them. And it is critical to pass on to them the goodness of the Lord and his power and ability to save them and lead them to their promised land so that they won't die in the desert, but will instead inherit the same crown of life that he has promised us. Brothers and sisters, if we don't pass along the truth to the next generation of Christians, then we will become the last generation of Christians. When we first decided to follow Jesus, we began our walk through this spiritual desert that we call the world. We were thirsty, but he began to satisfy our spiritual thirst with that living water that he spoke about, that living water that becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within us, keeping us revived and refreshed even in the driest desert. He satisfied our spiritual hunger by feeding us bread from heaven, food that the world does not know, a nourishment that comes from doing the will of God and living by his word. He defeated the enemy that had enslaved us, and he has given us authority and victory over any new enemies that we may encounter on the way to the promised land. When the children of Israel left Egypt, the Egyptians lavished them with gold and silver. In the same way, when we came to Jesus, God lavished us with gifts. Scripture tells us that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we have become united with Christ.
Amen.
He gave us the Holy Spirit to help us, comfort us, and intercede for us. He gave us the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and all the others. He gave us the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, showing kindness to others. And last but not least, he gave us the greatest gift of all, a promised land of our own, the gift of eternal life, our everlasting inheritance, the privilege of spending eternity with the God we love. But brothers and sisters, in order to get to that promised land, we have to pass through the wilderness. The children of Israel entered the promised land, but they had to cross the wilderness to get there. God's original plan was for them to do it in 11 easy days, not 40 difficult years. But regardless of whether it was to be 11 days or 40 years, whether it was to be the easy way or the hard way, they had to pass through the wilderness to get to the promised land. And brothers and sisters, we do too. Now, there are some of you who came to the Lord and you've always lived for him wholeheartedly. You've always listened to his voice and you've always avoided the snares and traps that are in the wilderness. And praise God, that's wonderful. That's God's ideal for a person's life. That's my prayer for my children and my grandchildren, that they will avoid the snares and traps that I and others had fallen into. However, there are many of us, and I include myself, who have taken the harder, longer route. We're still headed to the promised land, but we've taken a few bumps and bruises along the way, and we've suffered unnecessarily because of our backsliding or our sin. I'm reminded of the words to an old hymn. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. But praise God, even during those rocky times, he still carried us as a loving father carries his son to make sure that we reach our destination safely. When the word wilderness, or some translations say desert, when the word wilderness or desert is used in the Bible, it refers to a dry, hot, rocky, barren wasteland where there is very little food or water, a land inhabited only by wild animals and your enemies. As the children of Israel passed through the wilderness, they had to learn to depend on God daily for food, water, and protection. They had to survive in a land filled with wild animals who wanted to devour them. They had to withstand the attacks of their enemies as they passed through enemy territory. The wilderness we're passing through, brothers and sisters, is the world, and our enemy is the devil, Satan. Jesus himself referred to Satan as the ruler of this world. And the Apostle Peter referred to him as the enemy who roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. As followers of Jesus, we have to separate ourselves from the world and not be conformed to it. Yes, we have to be in the world, but we don't have to be of the world.
Amen.
Let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. 1 John 2:15 through 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. While Jesus was here on earth, he too had to spend some time in the wilderness, withstanding the attacks and temptations of the devil. Then he ascended into heaven, where he received glory and honor, and he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Likewise, God has promised glory and honor and a crown of everlasting life to we who love Jesus and confess him as the Lord of our lives. But just as the children of Israel had to face testing in the wilderness, and just as Jesus had to face testing in the wilderness, we too have to face testing in the wilderness of this world as we journey toward that everlasting inheritance that God has prepared for us. In the Gospel of John, Jesus gives us some bad news and he gives us some good news. The bad news is that in this world we will have trials and temptations and tribulation. We will face some testing and temptation and sorrows. But the good news is that as we pass through the wilderness of this world, we can do so with joy and confidence and hope and assurance, because our Lord and Savior Jesus has overcome the world. He has gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us, but he has left us his precious Holy Spirit to walk alongside of us and even to carry us when he needs to, so that just as Jesus overcame the world, we can overcome the world too. Without the Holy Spirit, the world can be a terrifying place. The suicide rate in the United States has been climbing steadily over the years. According to the National Institute for Mental Health, between 1999 and 2018, the suicide rate in the United States has increased by 35%. Passing through the wilderness is serious business, and you don't want to do it without the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brother Jerry often says that he wouldn't cross the street without the Holy Spirit, and he's not joking. God has given us the Holy Spirit to help us, comfort us, and walk alongside us. He has given us his Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth in a world that's full of lies and deceit. He has given us his Holy Spirit to be the seal, the promise, the guarantee of our eternal inheritance with God. As we pass through the wilderness, the attacks of the enemy will try to come against us like the poisonous snakes and scorpions that bit and stung and harassed the children of Israel. These attacks take many different forms: unexpected and unwanted thoughts and temptations, sin that tries to take hold of us and tries to keep us under condemnation, problems and trials and tribulations that try to rob us of our joy and peace, words spoken by us or to us that damage relationships and drive wedges between us and the ones we love. But let's look at Luke chapter 10, verses 19 and 20 to see what Jesus says. Luke 10, 19 and 20. These are the words of Jesus to his disciples. Who are the disciples of Jesus? We are. These are Jesus' words to us. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The only power that Satan has over us is the power that we allow him to have. As we go out into the world each day, It's our choice to either put on the whole armor of God or to leave that armor in the closet and go out into the world unprepared and defenseless. So just how do we stay strong as we pass through the wilderness so that we don't become weary and so that we can avoid the traps and the snares of the enemy? Well, there are many ways, but there are four in particular that I would like to briefly share with you today. The first way to keep your strength up as you pass through the wilderness is to be fully committed to God. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war. These words were spoken by a prophet to King Asa of Judah. Overall, Asa was a very good king. He tried hard to follow the Lord. The Bible has very little to say about, very little bad to say about Asa. But Asa made one major mistake. He tried to get along with his enemies. He formed alliances with his enemies and cut deals with his enemies. He even paid for those alliances with some of the silver and gold that was in the temple of the Lord. And that's when God said that Asa had done a very foolish thing and that the end result would be nothing but war from then on. Brothers and sisters, make no mistake. The devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. There is no negotiating with him. There is no compromising with him. There is no making deals with him. Don't think that bribing him by giving him the treasures of your heart will satisfy him. If you try to negotiate with the devil and pay him off, he will demand more and more and more, and the only result will be spiritual warfare and turmoil for the rest of your life. Your only option as a believer is to resist the devil and take authority over him. Scripture says that if you resist the devil, he will flee from you, and that even the demons are subject to you in the name of Jesus. God is looking for men and women of courage who are willing to follow him with their whole hearts and give up everything to follow him and to yield nothing to the devil. And if you're willing to make that commitment, God promises to give you the strength and protection that you need for your journey through the wilderness. The second way to stay strong as you pass through the wilderness is to always keep your tank full. Full of the Word of God, full of the Holy Spirit, full of prayer, and full of strength and encouragement from other believers. Keep your tank full. A few years ago, Carol and I loaded up a rental van and took a road trip with some of our kids from here to Durango, Colorado. Now, Durango is a beautiful place. It's like the Promised Land. It's set in a lush valley. It's surrounded by mountains and forests. It has a river running through it. There's abundant wildlife, green trees, water. But to get from Texas to that area of Colorado, you have to drive diagonally through New Mexico. And that's some mean country. Or at least it seemed to me to mean to me from what I was used to. It was rugged, dry, desolate terrain, nothing but desert and cactus and long stretches of road with no towns and not another living person in sight. I had never been that far west in a car before, so I didn't know what to expect. I was a stranger in a strange land. So as we made that trip across New Mexico, every time I saw a gas station, and I mean every time I saw a gas station, I would stop and I would top off that gas tank. I would check the tires and I would check under the hood because I didn't know where the next gas station might be. And I did not want to break down in the middle of that hot desert where there wasn't another soul in sight. And I knew that without oil, gas, or water, the car we were in would not make it to the other side of that wilderness. Brother Jerry sometimes says that as believers, we should do occasional dipstick checks of our faith and our relationship with the Lord to make sure that we have enough of the oil, gas, and water of the Holy Spirit to get through the wilderness of this world without breaking down. The scriptures tell us that when Jesus went into the wilderness to face the devil, he went there full of the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus didn't dare go into the wilderness without being full of the Holy Spirit, and neither should you. So keep your tank full.
Amen.
The third way to find strength to make it through the wilderness is to care about the needs of others. Care about the needs of others. God gives strength to those who serve others. Let's look at Galatians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Brothers and sisters, we all have problems and struggles of our own, and the devil wants us to turn inward and think only about ourselves and to feel sorry for ourselves and to wallow in self-pity. Oh, why doesn't anyone care about me? What about me? But remember that Jesus, our example, didn't come to be served, but to serve. We all have someone who depends on us for something. Everyone in this room has at least one other person who is depending on them for something, even if it's nothing more than just to be a good role model and a good example of a Christ-like life. God promises strength, grace, and a bountiful harvest to those who serve and look out for the needs of others. One of the best ways to keep yourself going is to think about the others, think about other people who need you and are relying on you and are depending on you. The fourth and last way that we're going to talk about today to keep your strength up in the wilderness is to always make time to be refreshed. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 15. Deuteronomy 8, 15. These are the words of Moses to the children of Israel. Moses is talking about the Lord. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. This verse talks about how inhospitable the wilderness is. The wilderness is not a comfortable place for God's people. If you are comfortable in this world and you feel like you fit right in and you and the world are on good terms, you should probably examine yourself and your faith. We are in the world, but not of it. Yes, we are to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. Yes, we are to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. But while we are in the world, we must be careful to guard ourselves against being conformed to the world and polluted by it. There is a spirit of disobedience that is at work in the world. It's constantly rebelling against God. And there's a spirit of righteousness that is at work in us. And there's a constant tension between the spirit of disobedience that's in the world and the spirit of righteousness that's in us. And this constant tension between the two will eventually sap us of our strength and will weaken us if we don't occasionally get refreshed and recharge our spiritual batteries. Why is it so important to keep our strength up? Well, let's look at another scripture in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 17 and 18. Again, these are the words of Moses to the children of Israel. Never forget what the Amalekites did to you as you came from Egypt. They attacked you when you were exhausted and weary, and they struck down those who were straggling behind. They had no fear of God. Brothers and sisters, we've all had those mountaintop experiences where we're prepared for anything and we're ready to take on the world. We feel good and we're strong in spirit and we're prayed up and we're in the Word and we sense the Lord's presence, and it's easy to resist the attacks of the enemy. But that's not the condition the devil wants you to be in. He doesn't want you to feel good in your body or in your mind. He wants your mind to be full of worries and stress and anxiety and depression. He doesn't want you praying or meditating on God's Word, so he tries to fill your mind with distractions and confusion. And when your mind is not sound, your body usually isn't either. Don't be deceived. The devil wants you to be in a constant state of physical, mental, and spiritual exhaustion and weariness, because that's when his attacks are the most effective. So everyone needs a time of refreshing in order to keep from becoming weary and exhausted and overcome by the heat of the wilderness. Even Jesus needed times of refreshing. And in the Psalms, King David often sang about the joy that he found in the shadow of God's wings. And on one occasion, David became thirsty and he said, "Oh, that I could get a drink from the water of the well of Bethlehem." Well, brothers and sisters, we have the well of Bethlehem living right inside of us, providing us with the living water that Jesus spoke of.
Hallelujah.
A fresh, bubbling spring within us, giving us life and reviving us. We can find that refreshing shade and that living water by praying, by reading and meditating on God's Word, and by fellowshipping and worshiping together with other believers. And by the way, never underestimate the importance of sometimes just taking a break, getting some rest, and doing something fun every once in a while. Doing these things will keep us from becoming exhausted and weary and burned out. And they'll help us keep our strength up as we pass through the wilderness. I would like to conclude this message by simply saying, keep going and don't give up. I know that doesn't sound very spiritual. I tried to think of a way to couch that in lofty, profound spiritual terms, but I couldn't come up with any other way to say it other than keep going and don't give up. The book of James tells us that blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. God will never give up on you, so don't give up on him. If it seems like God is far off and you're only seeing one set of footprints in the sand, it just means that God has picked you up and that he's carrying you through the wilderness as a father carries his son. If you would, please stand with me. Brothers and sisters, we're all going through the wilderness on our way to the promised land. But maybe you've been having some struggles recently along the way, and you've even wondered if you're going to make it. Maybe you're going through a spiritual dry spell and you need a fresh drink of living water. Maybe you feel like the enemy is harassing you and attacking you every time you turn around, and you need God's help and His deliverance. Maybe you're bone tired and weary, and you feel burned out, and you need a time of refreshing, some time to get out of the heat, some time to rest in the shadow of God's wings, some time to experience anew that fresh, bubbling spring of living water. The Holy Spirit is in this place. The Holy Spirit is here, and He's wanting to pour Himself out upon you today. He's wanting to minister to you today. So if any of the things that I've just mentioned today have spoken to your heart, then I would like to invite you to come forward and let me pray for you. If any of these things, maybe you're having a dry spell, the enemy has been harassing you, or you're just weary and fatigued and tired, And I'm sensing a spirit of fatigue and weariness in this place today. Sister Bonnie mentioned it earlier, and I think it's still here, and we need to take authority over that thing. I want all of us to be able to leave this place refreshed, full of strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and we're just going to pray for strength and alertness and power and authority on each of us as we go forth from this place. So if any of these things have spoken to your heart, please just come forward and let's pray.